episode. Yay.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. And this episode's going to be coming out a while after all this information has been released.
I know, so. I know. That's why we're making it a Star Wars update. Okay? This is a Star Wars update episode. Mm-hmm. It's not specifically
this is overall
Star Wars Celebration.
Overall.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to consist of a lot of Star Wars Celebration stuff. Neither of us made it, obviously, because, you know, we're poor and crap like that. However,
we had plans, though, but it's all right.
We tried. We really did try.
That's all that matters.
Months in advance, we tried to get there. There's no, didn't work out. But the live stream was available, and
it was cool.
I was really busy, and so I only managed to watch a little bit of it. I tried to catch up afterwards. But Daniel, I think you did a lot more than I did. Like you watched a bit more of Celebration than I did. Did you watch through all of the days, all three?
I watched on Thursday and, wait, no. Star Wars Celebration started on Thursday. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
I watched Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but I didn't watch on Sunday. So sorry for me.
I thought there were only 3 days.
No, it started on Thursday because...
Yeah, you said you watched Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, but you didn't watch Sunday.
Yeah, there was one on. There was a stream on Sunday.
Yeah, but it's probably shorter. It was probably like an end thing. It wasn't like a full day. Because I remember when we were looking at tickets for Celebration, I thought it was only 3 days. But yeah. Anyways, I mean, okay. So you caught 3 of the days. I legitimately only caught the first day. But there's a lot of good stuff in the first day, and I did watch the Last Jedi panel after the fact, so I'm caught up on my Last Jedi info.
It was 4 days.
It was 4 days? Like, full 4 days?
Yeah, it was... Well, okay, it was the 13th,
mm-hmm.
the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th.
Okay, but what happened on the fourth day? Because I feel like it was a smaller thing. Because the tickets were, like, 3-day passes or, like, 1 day.
I'm pretty okay. Yeah, there were so the last I checked and the last that last live stream I think was like 6 hours, or it was like 4 to 6 hours that last live stream for the last day. So
it's comparably shorter by a little bit.
I don't think by too much though, because I remember the other days were 6 hours as well. So.
Oh really? Dang it! All right, so I'm an idiot.
I remember there were
4 days and
there was
I only got the first one.
Yeah, there. Because I remember they had like a Mark Hamill panel, Mark Hamill panel, and where that was not the Carrie Fisher one, like the one dedicated to Carrie Fisher, but it was just another one, I guess.
Oh.
And that took up, that was like the main panel for that day, I guess.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
All right.
Yeah. We weren't there, so we don't know,
Mark Hamill's
but we're
panels
trying.
Are just the greatest because it's just him saying the same things he said in every other interview before, and... totally getting sidetracked, trying to answer someone else's question, and never ends up answering them. They're, like, just train wrecks, and everybody loves them. So,
yeah, they're pretty cool from the
ones
I've seen. Yeah. Well, anyways, like we just said in the beginning of this episode, this isn't just a Celebration review, even though we are reviewing Celebration.
Whatever. Okay, yeah. Not. We're also going to talk about the Last Jedi trailer, which was, you know, revealed at
which is
Star Wars
in
Celebration.
But
I would talk about the new Thrawn book, which came out, except for the fact that I haven't actually read it yet. But I have it.
Shame.
So that's an update that I'll probably talk about it next week. Actually, yes, we will for sure talk about the new Thrawn book next week. I'm calling it now.
Okay.
It's a fact.
That's good to know.
And we can talk about Rebels Season 4, I guess.
I
actually started watching Rebels Season 3 because I thought the Season 3 trailer was so great because Thrawn. And so then I watched through all the second season and the third season, and I did not watch the first season because the first season is really bad, in my opinion. So, but I think they actually revealed that it's only 4 seasons that Rebels is. Did you hear that, Daniel?
Yes, I heard that. Sorry, there was an alarm going off in the background, so I didn't want to talk so you could edit all that out.
Well, no, come on, man. We don't edit this podcast. Everybody knows that.
We never do that.
Never.
But anyways, even though this is a Last Jedi update, Rebels, yes. Haven't seen any of it, but I watched the panel. I guess I just didn't have a life, and so I watched the Rebels panel, the season 4, and the cast seems, they seem really cool, but the trailer didn't impress me, even though I hadn't seen any other previous ones. I saw the season 3 trailer when it came out. I don't know why, I'm just liking the trailers. I'm not liking the trailers, but I don't know. I'm not really interested in it. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, it got better. So season 3 had, like, not just passable episodes, but some episodes that I thought were legitimately really good, like Clone Wars or better.
Okay. Oh, wow. Maybe I should give it a shot, just season 3, I guess?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, season 4 looked like much of the same that we got in season 3, plus they added Kabarak, which was a character from the Thrawn trilogy. Wait, pretty I think cool. They... Wait, no, they didn't actually add Kabarak. They added Rook. Sorry, I get them all confused. Maybe I'm racist, but... all the no-gree names, they confuse me.
But at least Warwick Davis has a character, I guess, in season 4.
Yeah, that's
4,
Rook.
So that's cool. See, I in my head, I thought maybe this new character is Warwick Davis, but I'll just bring it up anyways. And I should have just said, isn't that played by Warwick Davis to sound really cool? But I didn't. It's okay. I passed that offer to
that's
sound
right.
smart.
You know what? I forgive you your Star Wars transgressions.
Well,
we can't all
now that, you know...
I mean, I didn't even know that there were 4 days of Star Wars Celebration, so, you know, you had to forgive my iniquities. I'm just going to keep changing that word. It's iniquities, it's transgressions, it's sins, whatever word. I'm just going to keep switching it.
Now that we're on a roll, though, we're on a roll of not talking about The Last Jedi,
though.
This
might be the worst 8 minutes of podcasting ever recorded.
It's not. No. No, it's great. It's amazing.
Yeah, I forgot positivity and all that.
Battlefront 2, though. Okay. The trailer. The campaign. I mean, at least they're listening to the complaints. And for the most part, it's just an update, but actually with a campaign. So that's nice. I feel like Battlefront 2 is what Battlefront should have been, is all...
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not really excited about the Battlefront 2 thing, because it's just, it's dumb, because I don't have a PlayStation.
Aww, if you did have a PlayStation, though, would you be into it?
Probably, but I know enough about how EA works that they're probably going to charge, like, a bunch of extra things, like, to play online. Not only do you need to pay for PlayStation Plus, but you also need to pay for EA's subscription service. And in addition to that, you can get some of the...
You're making this up.
They're ridiculous about it. I'm not kidding. Like, EA...
Wait, do you know for sure about that you have to pay EA as well?
I'm just making things up. I'm pulling stuff out of my head.
Okay.
I think that's what I think they're going to do. Okay?
I was like, that would just be cruel.
So, but I know, like, with Battlefront... Okay, so I have a family member who has a PlayStation. And when I go over there... They don't pay for, like, PlayStation Plus or anything like that, so I can't really even play Battlefront. And the bits that I can, it's like, well, you know, you need to pay for this extra thing and then this thing. And it just gets so ridiculous that it's like you have this tiny bit of game and this whole bit of, like, extra purchase. And I feel like they'll do the same thing in some cheap way with Battlefront 2.
Yeah, that was what everyone was upset about with Battlefront. But I think, considering the campaign, they decided that they added that aspect, fixes a good amount of some of the complaints. Now, if they continued to learn from that first game and change stuff and realize how unfair they were, I still have faith, considering they came out with number 2 with the campaign and they really are pushing that now.
Yeah.
So I have faith in EA.
I don't know.
And then there's the book coming out this summer too. So,
well,
yeah.
Books are always
Yay
fun.
For that.
So,
yeah, but I think enough about. We gotta get to it. We gotta talk about The Last Jedi, okay?
If you insist.
Okay, good.
We will talk about what may be the greatest movie and maybe the worst movie of all time. But either way, we know it's better than The Force Awakens.
That's very true. Yes, that's totally true, because We know that if they make an exact copy of Empire Strikes Back,
it's still a copy of something better. Be... So I'm good.
Oh yeah,
it's true. What they'd be doing is copying the epitome of film that I wouldn't mind rewatching, because it's like there's no Death Star, so there's no like giant super laser in that movie, which of the original trilogy, it's the only one, right? So that means that like at least we'll have one new movie that doesn't revolve solely around a super laser.
Okay. All right.
I don't know, but there's so much that's actually good about it that I'm excited enough, because just that one shot where Rey has that book off of Luke's bookshelf, and it has like the symbol of what I'm pretty sure it was either is that the symbol of the Republic or the original like Jedi Order?
I have no idea.
I thought it was the symbol of like the original Republic, but I guess I could be wrong.
Okay.
And just that, like her holding like this old disheveled book with like a logo from, you know, stuff I remember fondly from like the Clone Wars and unfondly of from the prequels. And it's like, it's actually exciting to me that they're bringing all that stuff together instead of just doing what The Force Awakens did, which was like, we're paying giant homages to the first movie in the original trilogy. And other than that, it's our own completely new Lilo and Stitch looking aliens. And I don't know. It feels like they're bringing it together, which is sort of what I want, because we already know the acting is going to be good and the directing is going to be good. So, like, that fixes my problems with the prequels for the most part, you know?
Yeah, and I think The Force Awakens was just, all it was doing was looking in the past, and The Last Jedi is doing, I think, the entire opposite. It's looking to the future, I think.
Yeah.
And so, like, what's gonna happen, actually, instead of what happened, and yeah, that happened, and we're just gonna do this exact same thing that happened again. Yeah. So, and I'm excited, because, I mean, that, like, the trailer was amazing, of course. I mean, how could it not, a Star Wars trailer not be amazing? And I don't know, I like, what was your first reaction of the trailer, though?
I was super excited, and I was watching on a phone with the brightness all the way down. So I saw Luke's bookshelf, and for some reason I thought it was just some giant tree and like a platform people were standing on. And I was like, is that Kashyyyk? And yeah, that it wasn't, basically I was an idiot. And so it totally marred my first impression, because I was like, what, Kashyyyk? That's amazing. I love Kashyyyk. And then... no Kashyyyk.
Aw, okay.
I still liked it, and I thought it was really, really cool. And for some reason, I think my favorite shot in that trailer is when there are those, like, crappy-looking speeders going up against those walkers. That looks like broken B-wings to me. Is it just me that thinks they look like B-wings? Because some people don't seem to think so.
I mean, I forget.
Okay, if you don't know what a B-wing looks like, just imagine, like, a cross. I don't know. You're looking it up anyway, so it doesn't matter.
What? No, no, I'm not. I'm a Star Wars. Okay, I know exactly what it looks like. Yay, a B-wing.
It looked like one of those with one of the wings basically broken off, or it part of it destroyed. But that looks cool to me. And I like the planet that they're on. I think it looks cool. I don't remember the name right now. Wait, no, it's Crait. C-R-A-I-T.
Wait, the planet like that they had to film in Ireland or something like that?
No, that's Octo.
Oh. Oh, okay, sorry. I don't know
what you meant by the planet they're on. The one with the speeders and the red dust.
Yeah, okay. That like.
It looked like Mad Max to me, which I thought was cool.
Yes, because the way that, like, there was dull color all around, yet there was this, like, vibrant red powder or whatever.
It totally fits, yeah. I like it.
Yeah, it looked really cool. Yeah. I think the trailer did what a trailer was supposed to do, and it disappointed me. I'm saying this, but I'm going to explain myself. So, The only thing that disappointed me was the fact that I wanted more by the end. I was so sad because I wanted more. I wanted so much more, and I'm just going to have to wait.
I wanted
that's
less.
That's not the movie. The trailer isn't the movie.
Well,
and so
I don't know, because that's the thing, is that I've been burned out by trailers, because the first Force Awakens trailer looked like the best movie to be ever made. And while certainly a friend of the podcast, Quadri, would agree that, sure, yeah, it's the best movie ever made, and so that trailer is really only reflecting exactly what the movie gave us, which is the greatest thing ever, I would tend to disagree and say it disappointed me because I thought it was going to be a lot better than it was because of the trailer. And with Rogue One, I still watched all the trailers, but tried to, I don't know, I stopped caring about the trailers, and so the movie was more enjoyable for me first time around.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I think the trailer was perfect, because it didn't give me too much. It didn't give me this too crazy expectation. It just gave me like a hint. It gave me a hint. So, and I just, it's perfect. It was amazing, because we didn't get any close-ups with Rey holding a lightsaber, nothing like that. We just got this little, you know, shot from the distance of her swinging it around, and like, it was amazing. And I think that was like, they couldn't have done it in any better way to give like just a hint to us, like a little bit of it, you know, without, you know, ruining the moment, I guess, when you're actually watching the movie.
Yeah. I don't know. The only thing I really didn't like was that one shot where Rey has her hand on the ground and like the little pieces of rock start to like fly up around her hand. Which,
it reminded me of Superman.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I hate Man of Steel, so. But my dad pointed out that they're sort of making the Jedi more powerful now, which I think would have been obvious from Force Awakens, but that's something I know my dad's always really wanted. He's really into the fact that, you know, like in the original trilogy, or at least he brings up some good points I definitely agree with. He brings up some good points from the original trilogy that, you know, you have just Luke or just Obi-Wan and they're fine. Like, it's not, they can't just be killed by a fly. And Attack of the Clones really messes that up with them being killed left and right, that sort of thing. And that's one thing that I think The Force Awakens did overboard is the power of Jedi. It's not really like a real complaint. It just felt sort of too overboard. But at the same time, being like Jedi are worthless. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm worried that
they might
be too powerful. So
yeah, because it's getting inconsistent, I guess, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's not supposed to be like the less Jedi there are, maybe the stronger they are, because in the prequels there were more Jedi. Like, I don't know, that's weird.
I mean, if there's some way, like, if there's a canon explanation, like some sort of, you know, retcon about it, then, you know, I'm mostly nullified and I don't really care.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if there really isn't and they're just randomly, like, powerful, then, you know, non-existent, then it gets sort of annoying. However, I guess you have to start... That's the confusing thing about Star Wars, is because you want to be able to look at the Star Wars movie as its own movie, as part of the trilogy it's in, and then as part of the whole saga.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to please everyone.
It is.
And if they're going to make mistakes, and I guess you just have to be, like, okay with that. But, I mean, for the most part, I think they're doing a great job, I guess. And, I mean, I'm sure The Last Jedi is going to be... I think it's going to be pretty good. We just don't want to get too wrapped into it so that we can actually enjoy it when we're there.
Definitely. Are you going to fly out to come see it, man? Because you should come.
You know, I might have to. I might have to. I was actually looking last night at those dates.
Really?
So.
Really? All right.
Yes, I was.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'm kind of wanting to.
We will officially see it together and record a podcast in the same room for once.
You know, that'd be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And last night, I had a dream that it came out, and I was at the theater, and we were watching it. But the problem was, I had to use the restroom. And so, for some reason, I kept on leaving the theater and I kept on missing everything.
That's awful.
It was a nightmare.
Why I would wake up crying,
would I leave the theater? I know. I didn't get to see any of it. Okay, my subconscious wouldn't let me get to see any of it. It was horrible. I don't know why my subconscious hates me and would deliberately deprive me of that. I couldn't even imagine scenes.
Yeah, your subconscious from the Last is horrible. Jedi.
I know. I'm mad at it. Anyways, I guess so. How about this? So at the end of the trailer, when Luke is all like, the Jedi, I don't know the exact quote, guys. I mean, I'm sorry. Don't grill me for this, because I know we have all those haters out there. He's like, the Jedi must come to an end or something like that. And so everyone's like taken aback.
I'm pretty sure he said it's time for the Jedi to end.
Yeah, it's time for the Jedi to end. There you go. Thank you. You're my own personal hater.
I'm a walking quote book, okay?
I'm also
a walking ball of hatred, so.
A walking ball of hatred. That's one way to go about it.
I'd hope you'd say an elegant way to put it, but, you know.
It's one way. Okay, I guess so. Well, I think that we're geniuses, though, because, I mean, that's all I can conclude from that. Because if you've obviously seen our Last Jedi episode discussing The Last Jedi, we were talking about kind of where we think it was going with it. And come on, we gotta get some points here. What are you thinking, Bob?
I think we're geniuses. I think everybody who saw the title is a genius. And to be honest, I got faked out. I don't remember what made me think that they're definitely not going gray, but there might have been some sort of interview in which they're talking about how, like, you know, the Jedi will be around for much longer or something weird. I don't remember specifically what, like, there was some piece of information I heard that made me think, well, maybe our original estimations that, like, the Jedi actually aren't coming back and that's the end of the Jedi and that there's a new sort of gray order. I thought I was completely, totally wrong about that a little bit later. And then the trailer comes out and starts to confirm my original.
Blows us away.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they could just fake us out, but...
I bet they are trying to fake us out. I bet Luke is going to start off thinking the Jedi should end and all of this stuff. And he's going to end up, like, basically saying, I'm no longer a Jedi. And then Rey will just be the last Jedi. After teaching her, but he'll be like, yeah, I'm not going to be part of that anymore. And Rey's going to decide to continue on the Jedi Order, but Luke is like, well, I'm not one of those.
Like Ahsoka, right? Because you'd say, like, in Rebels, you'd say, like, Kanan and Ezra, or, well, basically, Kanan's the only Jedi, but then, or he's the only Jedi Knight, and then, but then Ahsoka's there, and she's like, I'm no Jedi, and that sort of thing, so.
Yeah, she probably has more experience than all of them.
Yeah, and she's probably a Jedi for longer than any of them, and she's, yeah.
Yeah.
More Jedi-ish.
It was a great Ahsoka impression, by the way.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Me and Ashley Eckstein are actually really good friends, so yeah,
really?
That's why I can do that voice really well, because I just know her very well personally, so I understand how she, you know, her inflection and the way she speaks and stuff like that.
That's great.
What do you think about Rose, though, this supposedly new character that they'll be adding into this?
I think Rose is pretty interesting. I'm not really sure I like the actress. She sort of annoys me, like, a lot.
What?
She drives me nuts, but...
She seemed nice.
She seemed, like, really annoying. It didn't seem like she actually cared about Star Wars like the other people did.
Huh.
I don't know. She seemed to care a lot less, but then she's just...
Maybe she was just, like, she didn't want to be too revealing about anything because, you know, her movie hasn't come out.
I don't know. Not that that really matters at all, because it's just the actress, but me personally, yeah. I don't really understand why the character's name is Rose or anything. I trust that, you know, there's going to be something interesting with that character. But for now, there's really nothing I can point to and say, well, that's a good idea or that's cool.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it all and, like, how Rian Johnson is like, he has to kind of, you know, pick up from what J.J. Abrams left in The Force Awakens. And I'm like, dang, I feel like, I mean, at the same time, J.J. Abrams left you at this great cliffhanger, but I mean, Rian Johnson had some hard decisions to make, I think, about how the story was going to go and where it was going to go. Almost like, J.J. Abrams did all the easy setup stuff and left the hard stuff for Rian Johnson. So, basically.
I mean, it was hard to set up that whole thing again. You had to basically create all of this backstory and history to some extent.
Well, nostalgia.
Well, yeah, basically that's what you do. And I feel like Rian Johnson definitely has more pressure on him than even J.J. Abrams did.
Yeah, even though in the beginning everyone was like, oh, he's going to have to start it all back up. It's going to, you know.
It's harder to take it from that cliffhanger because you've never had, like, a giant cliffhanger of a Star Wars movie before, you know?
They try new things out in this new trilogy, I guess.
Not to that extent. So. I don't know. Because, I mean, I think of Empire Strikes Back, which did end on a dark note with Han in Carbonite, but that's not exactly a cliffhanger because it still ended like a normal movie.
Yeah, and of course it was gonna have to take time before they actually got him back, you know. And yeah, so there was a time gap between that. And that is definitely a big inconsistency that just happened, I guess. So I mean,
I don't know. It's to be honest, I'm actually sort of more optimistic about the anthology films than I am the trilogy films right now.
Ooh. Well, I mean, considering Rogue One and Force Awakens, and we've had that chat before,
yeah.
I could see where you're coming from.
That's true. I mean, it's not like I just think Rogue One's better than Force Awakens, so anthology movies are king. But with the anthology movies, they're sort of forced to do their own thing.
And be more interesting. Like, there's more...
Yeah, there's the similarities in that trailer, in the Last Jedi trailer to The Empire Strikes Back are just sort of so striking. I'm hoping it's not a copy of The Empire Strikes Back.
Because it could totally turn out to be.
Yeah, and if it is, then I sort of officially, like, sort of give up. And anthology films are where all my faith lies, but I don't know. For now, I'm just a little pessimistic about it. But I still think The Last Jedi has the potential to be the best Star Wars movie. Well, not like the best,
but they have to do is just make...
The best movie since, like, what, 80... 81 or something.
81.
In there.
83.
Would it be 80?
Because it was every 3 years since... Yeah, 83, because it was every 3 years since 77.
Well, I'm not saying, because I think it could be better than Return of the Jedi.
Oh, you think? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to see really when Empire Strikes Back. Okay, yeah, 1980. So it could possibly be... I think it has at least a chance to be the best Star Wars movie since 1980.
Okay, that's nice. I mean, yeah. I guess if they just... All they have to do, I guess, is just not make Luke a carbon copy of Yoda, you know, even though they're kind of, that's kind of what they're setting it up to be. If they change that element, then... The Force Ghost of Han
is like, just comes up and is like, well, you should train her. And he's like, but she's like insane. And he's like, well, yeah, so am I. And then that's their version of it.
I
would like to have that scene where for some reason the movie starts out, despite it starting up right where it left off in The Force Awakens, I'd like it to start and Rey has a Force vision of Han and he's like, you will go to the Octo system. I mean, to be honest, I would actually forgive everything else in that movie if it was all Empire Strikes Back just for that one scene, because it would make absolutely zero sense.
That's funny, because it would be like mirroring what happens in Empire Strikes Back.
Well, yeah.
Empire Strikes Back? Yeah, so, you know, just go all out, I guess. That'd be funny. I mean, yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. We have all of our worries down, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And definitely some of the stuff we're excited that they could do with it, because, you know, with the old book thing you were mentioning, that could totally be something cool where we kind of, like, get the history fleshed out a little bit more. I mean, even though we just said this movie's about the future, and the one scene that seemed really cool is about them looking in the past, but it's different than, you know, what we were talking about, I guess. No, I don't know. I'm really excited, and we just hope that it goes well. And at this, now that we're talking about Star Wars, why don't we talk about Leia's role in everything? I mean, considering what happened, sadly, you know, the death of Carrie Fisher, whether we've talked about this in the past for sure, but maybe since more information's kind of come out about it, what do you think, like, first of all, what do you think Leia's role, because I'm sure it's going to be bigger than it was in Force Awakens, what do you think her role will be in The Last Jedi?
I'm hoping that she takes a sort of Mon Mothma role a bit more.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can see
Leia
that.
Leia pretty much took the same exact role she took in A New Hope. But I think I want more Mon Mothma than Leia. So I sort of just want Leia to be sort of sending out people to do things and that sort of stuff. Like, I really want some sort of side plot with Poe.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me earlier about how you wish they included Poe more to make it that trilogy feel again, like the trio.
Because you don't have the cast of three characters anymore,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, because Poe doesn't, I don't know.
Because the last movie, the three people were, you know, your Han stereotype is literally just Han. Then you have, you know, Finn and Rey. But Poe seems like just a side character, and he's not part of, like, the three main characters,
I mean,
almost, even though you had... think he should wouldn't, be, and they sort of market it like
wouldn't
he
you
is.
Say like even in the prequels there were three, there was Padme, Anakin, and Obi-Wan, I guess.
Yeah, it is, and I want, that's what I want, you know. You've just cleared it out for me. What I want is sort of like a Attack of the Clones-esque sort of like Poe noir. To like just like in Attack of the Clones, you know how like Obi-Wan had his whole like detective side quest finding what's the name of the planet? Wow.
Kamino. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When he has his whole side quest to find the Kaminoans and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I want sort of that sort of thing with Poe.
Wow, you're actually nodding back to, like, the prequels. This is new, Bob.
That's the best part of the prequels to me, is that side plot. Just that little part of Attack of the Clones with Obi-Wan. That's the best part because it's not ruined by terrible acting. It's got good stuff in it. Like, I actually really like
it. I mean,
Ewan
McGregor is bomb, so.
Yeah, like, if they did something similar to that, like Leia sends Poe out to do something, to go to a specific planet to ask for help, or, you know, like, he needs, they're sort of need to rebuild their fleet after what happened in The Force Awakens. He needs to go to, like, this sort of wealthy planet to try to, like, get ships or
something like
that.
Like, that'd be cool, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I want.
That could be really cool.
And I want Leia to just be like a, you know, go do this sort of a person, instead of having like a major integral action sort of role.
I mean, that's...
I don't know.
I think that's different from what a lot of people would want, but I
know. It's
I guess...
Yeah, but they're wanting to push the new
characters.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to be getting a lot of Luke, and in the last one we got a lot of Han. And I almost feel like having too much Leia will just take away from the Luke stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's one part...
That's what I want. There can be lots of scenes with Leia in it, but, like, I don't want her to have, like, a, you know, like, very hands-on sort of physical role. Like, I want her to be more controlling things from behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming from, I guess. And I don't know. I think... what you're saying makes sense, because I mean, it would be hard to do that. You have to choose kind of what your focus is going to be, even though you want so many things, you know, especially, you know, in the next one. So I get what you're saying. I guess that makes sense. All right, there was something else I was going to say. What was I going to say?
Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, we're gonna. Oh,
let's just talk about the 40th panel.
Oh, okay. John Williams, that was great, but the thing is, it cut out for me right when that happened, so all I saw was the first few notes, or heard was the first few notes, and then it was so sad. I missed it.
Well, then, never mind. Let's not talk about it. I don't want to make you sad. But it was brilliant, and, like, I literally, like, I probably screamed really, really loud, because that was beautiful to me. Like, I wasn't too excited about having Harrison Ford there, or George Lucas, but when John Williams was there, blew my mind.
Yeah, and they did it in a way that, like, nobody knew, really.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, even though I only heard the first couple notes, I was still really touched, though. Like, I had that reaction. I had that, you know, just surprise reaction, even though, like, a couple seconds later it cut out. So sad.
I would have screamed.
I know.
I would have broken my computer.
The Last Jedi panel was, I thought, was awesome. I love how they really played out that whole, I don't know if you saw the Josh Gad and, like, Daisy Ridley, I think he posted it on Twitter or something, like, these videos of him, like, trying to get Daisy Ridley to spill the beans about some stuff in Last Jedi. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, you would think that's funny, wouldn't you?
Ouch. Ouch. I'm sorry. Is it too mainstream for you? You're just, you know, you gotta be different.
I don't really
different.
Understand what's funny about it.
I think that's, I don't know. I think it's funny. I thought that was great. Have you seen all the videos?
I saw, like, one or two of them.
Yeah, there was, like, I think there was three. No, there was, maybe there was two. Maybe there's, it was two or three. And so there was the one, and she's like, da, da, da. And he's like, I can't tell you anything. And there's like, tell me something. And then he's like, oh, but okay, Olaf is in Frozen 2. And then that was funny. And then the next video, but the last video was the funniest because they got a group of, like, I don't know if you saw that last one, of all these stars, like Chris Pratt.
No, I didn't.
And J.J. Abrams was there. And it was so funny. And they got a group of these people. And he's like, Josh Gad is like, oh, I promise I won't ask you any more questions, but I just want you to come real quick right here. And Daisy's like, it's like, what? And then she walks in this room and they all just start asking her a question. And it's so funny. It's, I don't know. I had to show it to you afterwards. So, because that last video, that last one kind of made it. Like, the first one, two ones wouldn't have been as funny. So it makes sense. Hopefully. Anyways, I'll stop talking about that one small thing that happened a little while ago. And I'll show you it after the episode. But yeah, I thought, I'm glad that they brought him. I'm not, like, glad, but I thought it was a smart, it was a cool move. Because they could have gotten any other person or, like, Warwick Davis to do it, but they got Josh Gad, and of course he was, like, really, you know, comfortable on stage, I think, and so he
just
kind of,
I actually thought he did, like, really well.
Yeah, and so he really went with it,
and I think he actually gets Star Wars a bit more.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Yeah,
because I think Warwick Davis does, but, like, the Rogue One panel was just the most cringeworthy thing I think I've ever experienced.
Was he doing it? Was he?
No, it was Gwendolyn Christie.
Okay, yeah.
And she would just randomly scream really high-pitched and loud and weird. And then she would say something sort of awkward, and then she would laugh like an obnoxious lunatic. And then some guy spilled the beans on, like, a character death or something like that. So then, yeah.
Oh, I didn't watch that last
year.
Yeah,
so the guy who plays Baze basically said, and when Chirrut dies, and everybody's like, shut up, shut up.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
I don't remember who it was that went and got on their mic and said, you can stop talking now.
Oh, wow.
That's literally what they said. I don't remember who it was. It was someone on the cast. I know. So, the guy who played Chirrut, like, literally, his hand just, like, went over his face. And, oh my gosh, Diego Luna was just looking away like he's just, did not want to be present for that.
Aww,
it was really horrible.
That's,
it was
so
really
sad. Because, you know, it's, jeez, like, it's that, probably their only,
so
their only moment where they have a panel. I mean, considering, you know, that was Rogue One and it was, like, an anthology film and it was just that one. And
yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. And it, oh, that stinks. I'm glad I didn't see it and I had you to tell me. But yeah, I mean, that obviously makes you feel more grateful for how the Last Jedi panel went, for sure. Yeah, though, but I thought that was really cool, and the fake out was great, where they're like, we got something to show you, and then they, it's the poster, and but everyone still knew, like, oh no, he's going on, he's just trying to be mean.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. But yeah, and then the trailer was great. Obviously, I think our reactions, but I don't know. Is there anything else left for us to continue and ramble on?
Well, we didn't really. There was one thing that we sort of glazed over.
Okay.
Is, I mean, we talked about Battlefront 2 and the fact that it has a campaign, but, like, what is the campaign about for people who don't have access to? Well, I mean, they're on iTunes, so they probably have access to a summary of the trailer, but, or a summary of the campaign, but. What is the actual story? Because I didn't actually watch the panel. I just have an inkling.
Did you watch the trailer?
I watched the trailer.
Okay. Well, yeah, they kind of... Well, the guys, they were, like, talking about how they wanted to try something, like... They wanted to be, like, really different about it, I guess, and kind of, like, try to mix it up a little bit. And so they thought it'd be cool if the campaign you were playing as an, like, an Imperial... Like, what was it? Like, it was like a squadron, I guess, but like something, a special squadron,
was
I guess.
Was it like Inferno Squadron or something?
It might have been, but it was like this different, like, kind of like the Navy SEALs version of, almost of like, you know, Imperial side. So basically their reaction to the end of Return of the Jedi where the Death Star, you know, gets exploded and they're like, okay, what do we do? They kind of want to explore that storyline. And
yeah, it was Inferno Squadron.
Okay, good. And they want to really delve into that, I guess, and like how, because I feel like maybe in the books or the old canon or something like that, they probably did like that, but they didn't like not in the form of like a video game, I guess, where they have these this, you know, squadron of Imperial soldiers and they have to.
I don't think there's anything that they could add to the new canon that wasn't already something that they tried in the
old canon. I'm sure of it, like, because there's a lot in the old canon. I don't know, I thought it was a really cool idea, and I thought that was like, oh my word, that's like, what a way to go when you're doing a campaign, especially when the last one didn't have a campaign and a lot of people were disappointed with it. I mean, of course, it still looks amazing the way they did it, and the new characters they're adding, like, they're doing it so that you can play in all, like, time frames in all the trilogies, like, throughout the whole saga. You have, like, all the characters, like, from Darth Maul to Kylo Ren, so...
Are they gonna let you play as, like, Jyn Erso and Chirrut? Because that would be pretty cool.
I don't think they're doing
anthology. I don't think they're ever going to have any support for Rogue One stuff.
Like, yeah, I don't think they're going to...
For Battlefront 2.
Like, because
if
no,
they say play across all eras, they better make it like... There's a, like either a Scarif map or like you can just play as Chirrut.
I don't think they're doing anthology, like, you know,
films. I know, but they should, Daniel.
I know, you seem really passionate about that.
For the first Battlefront. But that would be really cool.
That would be.
Like, I would actually, like, consider, like, trying to get the game and stuff like that if I could play as Chirrut.
That'd be cool. But the thing is, you know that he dies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sorry. He dies. So, whenever you die...
Did you know that Darth Maul dies? Ha!
I bet you didn't. You just spoiled Rebels. Ugh, I can't believe you.
I just spoiled Rebels Season 3, which means there's no point in watching it... Phantom Menace, there's no point in watching The Clone Wars, and there's no point in watching Rebels.
Oh darn, I was going to watch all of those.
I ruined...
I know, so sorry.
You're going to rewatch The Clone Wars, you're going to rewatch Phantom Menace, and watch Rebels for the first time, but I ruined it for you.
Yeah, you did. You did. I mean...
But it was... I think it's literally Rebels Season 3, that fight between Obi-Wan and Maul, if I can sidetrack a little bit, was... just really, really well handled. I'll say
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it for you.
Because I saw a lot of, like, panels with the dudes who wrote the story for Rebels and that, like, that story. And they even had a discussion where, in one of the panels, they were talking about when George Lucas approached them about how, he's like, no, we're going to make Darth Maul come back in, you know, in the Clone Wars, and they were, like, talking about, like, okay, and they were trying to, like, you know, not be, like, that's a horrible idea. They're, you know, it's coming from George Lucas, so they kind of have to, I guess.
Were they talking, was that the panel with Dave Filoni and Pablo Hidalgo?
Yes, I think so.
I did see that one.
It might have been. I think there was a lot of panels with Dave Filoni, I think.
Yeah, so. Every panel with Dave Filoni, he pretty much mentions that story.
Yeah.
He's an interesting person.
And I don't know, I thought that was really funny the way he told the story and, like, how they really have to work hard. And it made me really think about, you know, like, how a lot, like, especially with Star Wars, you have to be careful and, you know, with the storytelling. And you have to, I don't know, you have to just really put a lot of effort into it or else it won't come out, you know, good. So I'm happy that they did it right, especially since, you know, Obi-Wan is now old and Darth Maul is still fighting him, even though he supposedly killed him in the prequels. But, yeah, so I think, I mean, if they did it well, where Obi-Wan was like, hey, I remember you, and, I don't know, yeah.
They gave him a good, like, a fitting end, I guess, and yeah, I like it.
That's cool. Quite a bit. Oh, man, did Obi-Wan die?
Yeah.
He died. Ah, he eventually lost.
I mean, he died probably 2 or 3 years later.
No, I thought Maul was going to beat him, honestly. I thought he was going to die.
I mean, you would expect so, because, like, how can you kill somebody who keeps coming back over and over and over again?
I know.
You chop him in half, he's back. You beat him again, he's back, and just over and over again.
Yeah, I know.
But apparently he only had 2 lives.
That's, yeah. He was not a cat.
He was not a cat.
Nor was
that, he. That should be on his, like, his tombstone. Darth Maul. He was not a cat.
Okay.
New hashtag of the episode. Hashtag he was not a cat.
Oh, yes. We forgot our hashtaggies.
Yeah, okay. Wait, we should actually probably wrap it up unless there's anything else you want
to say. Nope. I think we covered everything. I hope we covered everything. I hope everyone was fulfilled and got their share of Star Wars stuff and that yay for Last Jedi. So.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Mazel tov. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Social medias, though. Social medias.
Well, I actually want to start off with the listener of the month. So, currently, I think we're going to stop doing that because as much as I thought it was funny to do something retarded like that, let's just do listener of the week.
Listener of the week.
So, I think listener of the week is previous guest star Izzy.
All right, we don't really talk about these things, so you know what? You, Izzy, are the listener of the month.
You're the listener of the month for this week.
Oh, wait, I totally forgot. Yeah, you're the listener of the week. Whoops.
But we will call you listener of the month, but it's just for a week.
Yeah, just know, okay?
Yeah.
It sounds better.
And all that means, basically, send us your contact info and your address, and we will mail you a certificate of authenticity that just says, Gosh Daniel Podcast Certified. And that'll get you pretty much any job anywhere you want a job.
You know, she probably is going to do it.
You want to be CEO of Apple? She's going to make us. Well, you need the Gosh Daniel Certificate of Authenticity. And
it's true, though. How do you think What's-His-Face got that job previously?
You mean Steve Jobs?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Well, if you listen to the podcast.
Exactly. I'm sorry that I killed Steve Jobs.
You killed Steve Jobs?
I know.
How does that even... What does that even have to do with this conversation? But I'm still...
Last Jedi, people. Whoa, this somehow relates to it.
Last Jedi. It's better than Daniel admitting he killed Steve Jobs. Yeah, so listener of the week, Izzy. Patreon. Well, I guess we don't have Patreon of the week or of the month because we have 2 of them. Hunt the Bunter.
And Myron Smith. Wait, I forget her name. Myron Smith? Was it? Or was it just Myron Smith?
It's a common last name. You should know it. Myron Smith.
Myron Smith. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Myron. I feel like... I'm sorry. I'm failing you.
That's all right.
Myron. Okay. Yeah. Got it. I think we're good, right?
Well, I mean, Twitter at GoshDanielPod. Patreon, www.patreon.com/GoshDaniel.
Yeah, sorry. This was a real casual episode, people. I apologize for my behavior.
We recorded it at the end of the day when we're tired, so.
That's very true.
Forgive us our transgressions, iniquities, sin, or other words.
Yes. All right. I mean.
Yeah, forgive us our debts.
Yeah. Please. Let's wrap this up.
I know we owe you a lot of money.
We're finished now, so.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that this is a lengthy episode because we missed 1 week.
We did, and we are really sorry about that because that was the week after we realized that people kind of were listening, and we needed to have a great episode, and guess what? We didn't have any episodes. That's how horrible we were.
Yeah, and so then it went all the way down. Well, actually, I haven't checked it, but it probably went.
It probably did. Just assume the worst.
Happy Christmas. Merry life and podcasts for Evs.
Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Thank you. I don't know. Do podcasters say bye? Like, is that a thing where podcasters say bye when they are finished?
I guess so.
Goodbye.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye.